Treasurer, as it relates to the break, I see 1:30 on our schedule, but what is your pleasure? 1:15? It's 40 minutes.
1:15 means 1:30 anyway, Mr. Chairman. So if you say 1:15, everyone will be back by 1:30.
Wow.
We can start.
Maybe in your committee.
No,
yeah.
She's not Supervisor Cullen, she's not challenging my ability. She's challenging the behavior of committee members.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm just saying.
People will be here.
I'm just saying.
Everybody
I thought yesterday maybe we could get back on time because we were in a different room in a different building.
Long walk, though.
Oh, yeah, it was a very long
time. Committee
is the people running in here with
thank you very much for your input. The committee is recessed until 1:15.
Thank you.
For Standards Act, I know many of you know this already, but it's the federal law that really outlines wage and hour law for employers across the country. And in that law, there's a definition of how we define an exempt employee versus a non-exempt employee. Non-exempt would mean an employee who can receive overtime at over 40 hours in a week. An exempt would be the higher level of professional management level positions that cannot get or don't get overtime. At Milwaukee County, we have an ordinance for the exempt level individuals to receive overtime at a straight time rate if they work beyond 40 hours in a week. So what's before you is a proposal to eliminate that practice, as it is not a standard practice. It's not something that's typically done. And basically the memo outlines, you know, the reasons why we want to kind of pull it together and eliminate this practice.
Supervisor Stamper. Thank you, Director.
Mr. Chairman. Ms. Mitchell, would you mind, you know, providing a couple reasons why you want to eliminate and it's so important to eliminate it?
Sure. You know, there are really two key reasons. You know, one is, as I mentioned before, I'm really looking to in a number of ways, from an HR perspective, look at standard practices, look for best practices to get us in line with what other public sector entities are doing and in some private sector. So one is just the simple fact that if you're in a more senior level job, if you're in a management job or a more professional level position, you're going to be expected at times to work beyond 40 hours. It just happens. It's just the way it is. And in many organizations, you can simply flex your time a little bit. So, for example, if a manager's worked 60 hours in a week and they're exhausted, they say to their manager, can I flex my time? Can I take off early Friday? Can I come in late Monday? You know, that's kind of typically how it's managed versus we're going to track every hour and then do this. So part of it is just the administrative process and the fact that it's just not efficient. And then the other piece is, you know, there's certainly some savings. I realize that the fiscal note, and certainly if anyone from the comptroller's office would like to speak to it, it is a little complicated because we're dealing with an accrual of overtime, and we're also dealing with some people that are getting it paid out. And this accrual can be paid out at termination. So it's this question of, yes, we have a pretty big balance of overtime on the books that hasn't been taken or paid out, but is that cost actually happening every single, you know, we might have a balance of like around $700,000, I think, is around where the balance is right now in terms of the accrual. That doesn't mean it's costing us $700,000 a year. We're not paying that out every year. It's paying out, you know, at different points. So the second reason, I guess, is the cost savings. It's not a huge number each year, but it's growing every year. And in terms of the long term, I think that it would be a significant savings.
Okay. And these aren't salaried employees.
Yes, they are.
What I mean by that is, you know how you, it's not hourly. I mean, it's, you know, your hourly employees, your salary employees. These are salary employees that receive overtime?
Yes.
I thought that was okay. Yeah, that's not standard practice.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Rome West.
Thank you. So salaried employees, basically, the reason why you would salary somebody is because it is a cost-saving measure because you're not paying them overtime. So you have management who are paid salary because that way they can't, you know, you know, I might work 60 hours a week. Mm-hmm. I'm only getting paid whatever my salary is. So I don't understand how this is being presented as a cost-saving measure when we currently don't give overtime to our salaried employees. This to me is an additional benefit. It's not a. And you're telling me they do this all over the place?
No.
It's a best practice?
She said no.
Right. So just to clarify, at Milwaukee County, the ordinance states that any of the employees that are, well, I think we're using the term salaried, but exempt from overtime under the federal law,
mm-hmm.
Anyone who's not in the really senior level, so not the ECPs, but all the other professional levels up through management, currently right now under the ordinance, do receive additional any time over 40 hours, they actually can get straight time. Many areas have it as an accrual that's just building and building, and they can maybe take it as time off and record it so it takes off of their balance. There are some areas where it's actually paid out, and this accrual builds, and if they don't take the time, then they get it paid out when they leave. So right now, the salaried people are indeed receiving that. And so the proposal would be to discontinue that practice. That makes sense.
Okay. and so that includes, like, the doctors out at BHD and anybody who's salaried.
Well, to clarify, in the document before you, there is a place where I state that there will be just a couple of exceptions, a couple of medical positions, the doctors as an example, because when we studied the amount of time being used, for a lot of employees, it's not a lot, but in the case of doctors, it was a significant percentage of their actual compensation. So I have in here that with the exception of, I think, the firefighter positions because of the contract they have and some medical positions, you know, they would be kind of exempted from this, and we would leave that for now.
Thank you.
It'd be too radical of a change, I think.
You still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm through.
Thank you. Supervisor Cullen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I noticed probably before you were here and before I was here, this issue was discussed in 2009 when I've read through your thing. And there seemed to be some compromise that was adopted at that point, or what seemed to be a compromise, according to your write-up. Can you tell me, does anybody know what happened in 2009 to cause what happened to happen? Did you do some research on that?
Mm-hmm. Rick, could you come and speak to that? I know you did some study on it. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Rick Sessions, Deputy Director of Human Resources, and I'm sure Mr. Maskey can answer that question as well, but I'll take a shot at it. In 2009, we revised the overtime rules. At that point, the overtime rules related to anybody working more than 8 hours in a day would be eligible for overtime. So we revised it and spread it out to 40 hours in a week. And we also, I believe, converted those, made sure that everybody who was at exempt-level employees would be getting straight time only instead of time and one half.
Right.
Did I characterize that properly?
Yeah.
But more than that was proposed, according to the write-up.
Correct. More than that was proposed.
I just wonder what the discussion was at that point, why that particular, for lack of a better word, compromise was adopted.
I guess I'd have to try to recollect what the arguments were for and against. I can't remember exactly what was proposed by the Department of Administrative Services at that time. I think it was to eliminate all overtime for exempt-level employees.
So this was a County Executive Walker proposal initially?
Initially, yes.
And then a compromise in some fashion was reached at the board level?
That's accurate.
Right.
Comptroller Maskey?
One of the additional items was that I think the proposal was originally that only things could be accrued and you could never get the cash paid out, but one of the compromises from the board was that they wanted to allow and give the Director of Human Resources the right to pay people out if it felt that it was necessary or give an exemption to that. So originally it was only going to just be accrued. And so one of the compromises made, it could be either accrued or paid out in cash, but paid out in cash would only be by the Director of Human Resources. There used to be a policy of, you know, time and a half, over 8, over 40 in a day, for it was based upon your pay range. If you're a 30 M or below, then you got time and a half for over 8, over 40 in the day. Over 40 in the week. And then the change was made to go to straight time for the FLSA exempt. And for the most part, to do that on an accrual basis only, but it could be paid out in cash. Under FLSA rules, if somebody is subject to FLSA, you have to do time and a half of over 40 in a week. So that is a requirement of that. But we were also providing over 8 in a day at that time, too. So they took away the over 8 in a day back at that time.
I understand the rationale for bringing this forward. And, Mr. Mansky, maybe you could speak to this since you do the payroll. Is there any way that it could feasibly be done that when the hours are accrued at whatever rate, say someone accrues hours in 2013 and they don't retire till 2033, that it could be kept track of that 2013 rate rather than giving it to them at their 2033 rate? So it's a more accurate assessment of what they actually earn, or is that just too cumbersome?
The problem, well, one, you could build the system in order to do that, but what you would have to do is maintain like a pool of money for that purpose. Generally, what we're seeing is about, overtime is being used, maybe 60 to 70% of it is being used as off time. So the hours have to be maintained. If you're maintaining it for purposes of just the payout, you could just do the calculation right away at the time and just put the dollar amount into a bank and maintain it for that. But what we're tending to see is people do use it as off time, so which kind of defeats some of the purpose of that for that purpose. We do hold some. It's kind of difficult too, because as people use it, they use up their oldest balance first, and so it's replaced with new hours. We could always look at that and see what it would take to do that, to maintain it for that. There is no restriction. There's, since they are FLSA exempt, there is no restriction or rule that would say we would have to maintain it at the current rate. You could define a policy, but I think there would be system-related issues that we would have to look at.
Mr. Chairman, I for one am not really prepared to vote on this today. I would move that we lay this over and have more time to digest it and discuss it, and if there are ways to do this and work out the kinks, then that would be fine with me.
Supervisor Cullen moves layover. To the next cycle. Any discussion? Any discussion about layover? Comments?
So we could think we still compromise more than that? Yeah, I mean,
No. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
No.
Roma West?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Cullen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
7 ayes, 1 no. The motion to lay over is approved.
Thank you very much.